The Brothers Mysterium. Bonus content.
Hello and welcome to The Brothers Mysterium bonus content. That's right. A new thing we're going to do here on the show is release these little nuggets, little things that didn't make it into an episode or were just a bit too off topic, but we still think they're cool, still think they're interesting and worth sharing with you guys. So moving forward, every now and then, whenever we find something that fits the bill, we'll be releasing these short bonus episodes for you to enjoy.
The Brothers Mysterium.
All right. So before we get started, I've got to kind of blindside you with an interesting question. Now, I threw out my study that I did because I was interested in twin tuition, to which somebody contacted me and said, that's very interesting, that's fringe science, but you're missing the fact that intuition is paranormal and is a supernatural ability all of its own, which I did some research, and there's arguments on both sides of the fence.
That intuition
is in itself a super ability.
How would you define intuition exactly?
Intuition will define as, we'll use Nan O'Brien's. She was interviewed by Jennifer Haupt, who is Nan O'Brien's an intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher. She does books, radio shows, stuff like that. And she defines intuition as a sense of knowing something in the absence of intellectual or tangible proof to support what we feel we know.
Okay, so going with your gut.
Exactly.
To put it in a more...
Well, sort of.
Colloquial.
So what's your first... I'll go into some of the research I found. What's your first feeling on that, then? The feeling of intuition?
It's not supernatural, I would say. It's based off prior experience and guessing into the future. You're making an inference and a prediction based off good evidence of prior experiences, because there are many times where my intuition has been completely wrong and gotten me into some bad situations. And there are other situations where it's done me really well and got me out of some bad situations.
So like this woman, she claims that there's no such thing as coincidence. So like if you're thinking of your friend you haven't talked to in 5 years and then they call you, she says that you intuitively knew that. That was intuitive knowledge.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, well, like you were thinking.
Like, I didn't say, like, I think my friend's going to call me, and then he called
me. No, you were just thinking.
Like, subconsciously, no, like, I knew he was going to call.
No, like, you're just thinking about him.
Right.
So you're just, like, thinking to yourself, like, man, I wonder what Pete's been up to. It's been
right,
a while.
And then he calls.
And an hour later, or maybe 10 minutes later, or 5 seconds later, Pete calls.
But she's saying, in my deep subconscious, my intuition knew that was going to happen, and my conscious brain translated that as, remember Pete?
No, she's saying that the fact that you were thinking of him right before he called was your intuition. I'm confused why you're confused.
Okay.
So you haven't spoken to Pete in 4 years.
Right.
And now you're like, man, I wonder what Pete's been up to. You haven't thought of him. Suddenly you think of him.
But that's
then
not,
he calls you. She's saying you intuitively knew the reason you thought of him
was because he was going to call.
Right. Well, it was intuition.
Right. Yeah. But consciously, I didn't. Yeah. We're saying the same thing here.
Yeah. So how would you respond to that argument?
Okay, what about the many times where I think of people and they don't call?
Great counterargument. I'm going to keep rolling with what she said, because it's kind of interesting. She says, we all have intuition, but many are afraid to trust it, because there's a conflict between logic and experience. Trusting intuition over logic over time, she says, makes us trust and accept it more, and it's like it's more faith-based than fear-based. So sometimes you go with your intuition, and you're kind of afraid. She's basically saying, you can train yourself to tap into this intuition, start making decisions, and usually they'll have positive results. The more you go with your gut, the more you learn to trust it, which is true. Sometimes people will be like, I just feel like we should get out of here, and it ends up being a good thing.
Right.
And she's saying you can kind of get rid of that fear the more you trust your intuition, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily a supernatural idea.
True, but she's saying it's a supernatural ability. She also says that trusting intuition in decisions turn out to be more positive as we're going with logic. She says it's usually like less positive. It's more of a safer decision. And The decisions that she finds most people regret are logical ones over intuitive ones, which I guess it's like, man, maybe I should move to California. No, I don't know. And then your logic,
you start to say like, oh, I don't know if I can afford that. I won't have a job there.
Right. And like you were saying, you think intuition is based on logic and experience. She's kind of saying logic and experience kind of drag you down and pull away from intuition.
Right.
I'll sum up her last kind of point, which is everyone has intuition and can practice exercises to make it stronger and plug into it. And she calls it faithful living. And the steps to that are acknowledging it, trusting in it, relying on it, taking action. And she says, like, one of her examples is you stand in front of an elevator and you guess when the doors will open. You don't cheat. You don't listen for the bing. You don't look at if it's on level 5, 4. She says you just stand there randomly and just go now. It's kind of like people at red lights sometimes will say it's going to go green now.
Yeah.
She's saying the more you do that, the more you can build your intuition.
Okay.
And then tap into it and use it in your life to solve problems, to know. I mean, it's kind of almost like ESP without as much.
Yeah. I would say no. Because I've definitely done that where I've had decisions in my life where I... Because it's what she's talking about is almost like desire versus what's plausible in a way. Like there were times in the past where I remember the first time I moved out of my house, I was like, you know, I kind of don't have the money for this, but I feel like I should do this and I should go live with my friends and we're going to do something and we're going to make something. And about 13 months later, my savings account was completely depleted. I was almost in debt and nothing had really come of it except for looking back saying, I probably should have just stayed home and saved some money.
So that's interesting because you're actually saying the opposite of what she had said.
Right. I threw logic to the wind and said, come on, intuition, and rolled the dice and did not work out.
That's true. There's another article called Gut Almighty by Carlin Flora, who's a writer for Psychology Today. And this is how she defines intuition: an unconscious associative process or a mental matching game in which the brain matches information from the senses against what it has stored within itself in order to make sense of the new information. So old information is stored as a mixture of fact and feeling. So when the brain matches a new situation to old information, it sends feelings and other sensory data to various parts of the body, especially the gut, along with the factual information.
So she takes the more scientific route.
Right. And she says, like,
or biological.
She suggests that the best approach to intuition is to study how it's internalized, like the internal experiences, and how that connects with the mind. And she even says, like, gut feeling is like literally a feeling in your gut, like the reason you get butterflies in your stomach. She's kind of saying, she kind of calls the gut like the second brain, which makes a lot of sense in a physical form.
Right. Can I interject here?
Sure.
So the thing I would compare this to is when you're young and you first start to notice girls. You see a girl and you're attracted to her and you say, I want to go talk to that girl. You get those butterflies in your stomach. You talk to her, the whole thing goes wrong or whatever. Maybe it goes right.
in your experience.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, it depends. But then like the next time that happens and you get that feeling, you may be less nervous. Or you may then use the prior experience to kind of gauge the situation and decide how you're going to approach it. To me, that's a better example of using, you know, your intuition. Like, you know, this, you see a girl and she's talking to this guy. And so you say, okay, that's probably her boyfriend. I won't say anything here. Or you say, okay, I see this girl here. I can see what she's like. I'm going to go up to her and this is how I'm going to approach her. These are the things I might talk about. And you kind of gauge the situation like that. That's all prior knowledge that you become more comfortable with the more you do it. The more you interact with people on a social level, the better you get at it.
Right. And she says intuitions or gut feelings are sudden, strong judgments whose origins we can't immediately explain. But she's saying like there are social clues, like someone says they're fine, but they're really not fine. And right. You just kind of know that when you're driving and you're lost and you're like, I should go left here. And then you go left and that's where the house you're looking for ends up being.
Yeah, the highway you were trying to get on or whatever.
Even like before we said, like quitting your job and moving to Paris, she's saying that's sort of maybe it's a quick decision, but you know that's best for you, which obviously doesn't always turn out that way.
Right.
But maybe it is, you know, maybe the reason you're even considering is because you're unhappy with your job to begin with.
Right.
So she says it's actually like intuition begins with a perception of something outside, like a facial expression, a tone of voice, visual inconsistency. And it's sometimes so fast and so fleeting, you don't even notice them, but you're brain will notice them and process that information.
And match it to something else.
Right. She says the brain has built-in shortcuts to process it all, so it's not magic, it's not supernatural, it's just a fancy and fast mental operation. And like you said, it's a matching game where you analyze the situation, search your memory banks to the closest experience you have,
right,
and then from that you have a snap judgment.
Right. And I think it's been proven, the shortcut thing about how scientifically sometimes there's cues that your body takes in and your brain processes faster than you can consciously process it. I think that's, I don't have the literature offhand to, from the study, but.
Well, I do.
Okay.
So a cognitive scientist, who I'm going to pronounce his name as Alexandre Linhares, has studied this. He is the one who says that the gut literally does feel things, butterflies in the stomach, as we said, because the gut has millions of nerve cells, and that's why it's known as the second brain, and it's big decisions. You get nervous, you might feel like you have to poop, which we've all been there. People say, I just felt it in my stomach. It doesn't originate in the gut, but that's the signal that your brain creates. It creates those sensations. So he says you cannot separate emotions and intuition. And he says intuition is immediate understanding, not immediate knowledge.
Right.
That's kind of what you're saying.
Right.
Which is, it's not, you don't just know something, or you can't like intuitively gain this knowledge, like this person is going to call me.
Right.
That I would say is maybe a coincidence.
I would say so. Or, it would still be a coincidence under this, but I don't know, maybe it's fall, and you're reminded of this person you spent a lot of time with in the fall, and it's fall where they are, too. And they say, hey, I wonder what Eric Mysterium is doing. Let me call him up. And meanwhile, I'm thinking of that same person or whatever.
And some interesting other things that he's found through all of his studies and work is people with brain damage and emotional paralysis spend hours trying to decide the smallest things, like even which cereal they want.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you ask them a question, they'll just kind of sit there and like almost freeze up. And he says that is because their brain is damaged and their emotions aren't there, where you can't just decide. You want to sit there, read all the ingredients, do everything.
Right. Yeah. I think it was Radiolab, I think, that I might have heard this stuff on, where they say that emotional factor is very important when it comes to making choices.
Oh, yeah. He also found that intuition can be the first step to problem solving. So like you start with a hunch, you can explore it. Obviously, it doesn't always lead to it, but it's like a good starting point to lean on, which makes sense with snap judgments and stuff. You kind of go with your gut, as they say.
Right.
And the final thing that he found, which is true and data backs it up, is that going with your gut on your first response has proven to be better on like tests and quizzes. And they even found this like with children and stuff. When you ask them stuff they might not even know, they're able to guess. So if you say like, what's the capital? Madrid is the capital of what? Spain. Norway,
right?
Saudi Arabia, or Czechoslovakia, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
The kid will just be like Spain and get it right. And it's the kid maybe has only heard of Spain than the others. And even like tests where people don't really know the answers, when you go with your gut instinct, you'll get it right.
Right, because they probably heard the phrase
right.
Spain, Madrid, Spain, exactly. Like used together frequently.
Which even happens when you're like playing games with your friends, like Trivial Pursuit or something, you don't know the answer. You're like, I want to say A, and then you sit there and really think about it. And you go, but now C kind of makes sense. I can kind of remember hearing that. It's C. And then you always go, I should have won my first answer.
It's A, yeah.
So that was just sort of an interesting discussion. I had never thought myself of intuition as being supernatural at all, but I guess a lot of people do. So I just thought it was worth discussing and debating a bit.
You know what we should do now?
Try to use our intuition to see who's going to come out of the elevator or when the door will open.
What we should do is we should talk to people and simply find stories of intuition gone right and wrong.
That's true. It opens up a door, but it was just, I figured we'd throw it out there. It was a cool way of looking at things. And I know that there are also people out there who think there's no such thing as a coincidence. They're called synchronicities.
Okay.
And so that...
I used to have a lot of experience with synchronicities, actually.
I have those a lot as well. So I'm sure there are people that say, well, that's all part of the intuition, all wraps up. But
right. From
what we just kind of analyzed and discussed, I'm going to say intuition is more of the scientific explanation of you quickly do an analysis of what's going on around you. Your brain makes a connection to experiences that you've had. And from that, you make a gut decision, which I feel like you're on the same page in this instance.
I am. But now that you said synchronicity, I'm thinking of some weird moments from my life where my intuition was spot on.
Well, hell, give them to us right now. Who cares?
Okay, this is kind of a long, involved story, and I hope I don't incriminate anyone in this.
You can always use fake names.
But what the hell? All right, so I was dating a girl at the time. This is in college. And things were a little rocky. And I don't know. All right, so I don't know. Those of you who remember a little thing called LiveJournal, you know that or no?
Wasn't that like a blog where people would write about their life
and they could write their daily mood and things like that. And one day, suddenly, I just get this weird feeling. The girl I was dating had a LiveJournal. And one day, I was just like, I have a feeling there's something in there that I have to know. There's something in her LiveJournal. And this is not like me at all. I usually don't do this kind of stuff. But this feeling just stuck me in the brain. It was driving me mad.
Where were you when it happened?
I was in my college dorm.
And she, were you doing anything with anybody else? Was the TV on?
No, I was just there kind of like on the internet doing homework, I think.
And so it wasn't like...
And like I said, things were a little rocky. So I guess that could be what led me to think like, something's wrong here. And there's something in her LiveJournal that I have to know about. So I actually knew the password to her email, was very easily able to get the password to her LiveJournal. I go snooping around like a dick, which I shouldn't
have
done.
Why did you need a password? Isn't it public?
Because you can do secret posts.
What the hell's the point of that?
Right. I don't know.
So only you can read a secret post?
Yeah, or you can choose who can read it.
Oh,
okay, so I snoop around. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing there. I go, man, I'm just being paranoid. And now I feel like a piece of shit because I just hacked into my girlfriend's LiveJournal, and I was like, whatever, man, you just need to relax. Things aren't going well, but that doesn't give you the right to just hack into someone's LiveJournal like that. Shame on me. So then all of a sudden, a couple hours later, there's a new post, and it's hidden for no one to see.
How'd you know? You had logged back in later to check it out?
No, because you can see, it will show you how many posts there are, and if there's not a new post, if the post count has gone up, but there's no new actual post, that means it's a secret post.
And you found that because you just had the feeling you had to go back and recheck?
Yeah, I did. It was still bothering me, even though I said it. And then I was like, there's a new post. So I checked, and there it was, the secret post.
Which said
she had slept with another guy. And I was like, how did I know she was going to store this information here before she even did?
And now you're trying to say that I was the other guy? Is that what you're trying to get at?
That's the whole point of the show, is to confront you. No. But I knew she was going to put it there before she did. And I don't know how I knew that. And never before in my life had I had this feeling that that's where things would come to a headway. And she was completely blown away when I said, by the way, I know about this.
And she admitted it and everything?
Once I confronted her and said, I hacked your LiveJournal.
Ooh, the old hack job.
Yeah. Which she was pissed at me for that, but I was like, listen.
Well, you kind of have the bigger thing to be pissed about.
Yeah, you're kind of going down in flames for this now, too. But that was, I guess that was intuition.
Yeah. See, now that's interesting because that goes against what we had just said, which
it
is kind of the logic side, which is one of the great things about this show and these topics is that it's not a clear cut one way or another, and it's good to have an open mind.
Now,
because
the thing is, though, that could be a coincidence. Because, like I said, things weren't good between us, and obviously I was suspecting that something like this was going to happen.
But what are the odds that day?
Right.
That could be the coincidental part. Well, maybe.
It could just be the stars aligned at that moment. Because if it had happened, like, literally, it was like a couple hours, and then, like, the stabbing feeling in my brain came back. I did get this one other time with the same person, because we did try to fix things after this.
That was dumb on your part.
Yeah, it was. Especially doubly so, because we tried to fix things, and then again, one day I woke up with that same stabbing sensation, like something's not right here. So I went and contacted, no. One of her friends contacted me that same day, that's what it was, and said, oh, by the way, so-and-so is actually dating someone else right now. They just started dating that day.
While she was still dating you?
Well, no, we weren't dating, but we were broken up. But she
you
was
were on
like,
a break?
She was like, no, she was like, we can fix things. So I was like, all right, so let's start talking again and getting in touch. And then like that day, I was like, something's not right without having spoken to her. And she was sending one of her friends was like, by the way, so-and-so asked her out today and now they're dating. So don't believe a word that person tells you.
Well,
that goes against what I said about logic. But I will say, once I stopped looking for synchronicities in that way, they stopped occurring, which either means I stopped noticing them, and so they stopped happening, like that lady said, like if you exercise your intuition, it'll work more powerfully.
Right.
Or it means I stopped connecting dots and making patterns where there really weren't any. My own stories freak me out, but I would say I still fall into the category of intuition is not something supernatural.
And before we end things, just give us her name so everybody knows not to date her.
I was going
to
say, I'm going to get some angry emails after this or text
just
messages.
Just kidding.
I'm not giving any names out.
Another interesting story that I just remembered right now, to deal with intuition and what is and isn't, is I'm in Vegas, my buddy's bachelor party. We'll just call him David. We're there by the roulette table. He's playing the roulette wheel, right? I'm leaning against it, having a beer, talking to somebody else. He turns to me and he just goes, hey, what's it going to be? So I say, whatever, 13. Spin the wheel, boom, 13. So then he does another, he turns back to me, what's it going to be? I go, red 7. It's red 7. So we do that for like a freakish amount of times, and I'm correct on all of them. I'm going to say like, maybe I go like 6 or 7 in a row.
Okay.
So much so that other people then start going like, is he right? Is he guessing these, whatever? And now here's the interesting thing. When it was happening at the time, I was a little buzzed. I was talking to somebody else and I was not thinking about it at all.
Right.
I would just turn, say whatever popped in my head. And then I could tell that he was getting it right and people were getting excited. But I was trying to play it cool. A good tip in life, when something awesome happens or you just did something awesome, act like you do it all the time.
Right, absolutely.
It impresses everybody, and it looks badass. At first, I was more in tune with the conversation. That was just sort of background thing. I would just turn and say whatever. Then when I realized I was on a hot streak, I started overthinking it. So then I started saying like, well, I already said 13. I can't say that again. It keeps being low numbers. It's got to be a high one. And then I was wrong the rest of the time, which makes me wonder, like, when I was going off my gut, off what we could say was intuition, when I wasn't thinking about it, I was right. When I started trying to logically analyze it, I was wrong.
Right. Okay, I have somewhat of a similar story, and this one's kind of interesting. I was working with a student that has autism not too long ago, and I was just curious, and I said, guess the number in my head. Got it right. So I said, okay, guess again. Got it right. And we're like, this was, I didn't say like between 1 and 10, you know, it wasn't like that. I just said, guess the number in my head.
Open range.
Right. Like I would say, guess the number in my head. And he would literally go 37. And I'd be like, holy shit, he got it right. And that happened a couple of times in a row. And then as soon as I said to someone I was with, one of my coworkers, I said, hey, check this out. This kid is unbelievable at guessing the number in my head. And like to the point where I was not freaked out, but definitely like excited by it and starting to get like that hunch of like something out of the ordinary is happening here. But then as soon as other people came over, he was pretty much dead wrong and we never were able to do it again. And I think the times where things are spot on like that always outlive the disappointment of the times where it doesn't happen that way. You have to consider the odds, I'd say, like all the times.
That's true.
Where you attempt these things and they don't go right, you don't remember those. But the times where something lines up, that's the memory that sticks out in your head. And if you zoom that out and you consider like the ratio,
right,
it's probably heavily, heavily weighted toward the negative side.
That is very, very true. And that's interesting because I was also thinking about specific times and other people will bring this up to me. I'll randomly ask a weird question. Like one time I asked this lady, I'm like, hey, do you ever wear glasses? And she was like, why would you say that? And I was like, I don't know. And I really didn't know. It was just sort of a random thing. And she's like, I just found out earlier today that I like need glasses. And another time, somebody else, I was like, how's your dad? Which is just like a very weird question. I'm not close with their dad. And they're like, wow, well, what made you ask that? Have you heard something? I said, no, why? And they said, my dad was just diagnosed with something like yesterday. He's going to be okay, but it was really scary.
Right.
Which I guess is sort of muddying the waters of ESP versus like intuition and stuff like that. But as you said, I'm sure there have been thousands of other times where I've asked a random question and people just go, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
And I go, I don't know. So there definitely is something with that. Now, one last thing I wanted to kind of touch on here.
As part of intuition still?
As part of intuition.
Okay.
Kind of bringing this to a close. We've talked about this more than I thought we would, but I think that's actually kind of cool.
Right.
Because sometimes you don't really think about these things. It's like, is intuition paranormal? Is there any sort of extrasensory things happening there and immediately be like, nah. But then when you really discuss it, it is interesting.
Definitely.
And Frederick Myers, who's the founder of the Society for Psychical Research, had this idea of a subliminal self. And it was very influential at the time. It's really not that big in science right now. Basically, there are two selves, a supraliminal and a subliminal. Now, everybody kind of knows what your subliminal is. It's kind of the thoughts in the back of your mind.
Right.
He was kind of saying that there's like this threshold where you can experience things that are yet to happen. And you can kind of see what reality really is. And he compared it to like electromagnetism. It's real. It exists, but we can't see it. You know, we need like a special detector to get it. So what he was saying is maybe this part of your intuition, this part of your consciousness at points is able to just kind of see more what's happening. You pick things up. You almost get, you know, a glimpse into the future. And he even talks about it sort of like a prism where when you hold up a prism, suddenly you can see like every color there is.
Right.
And, you know, like light travels. We can only see what we see, but we know there's ultraviolet lights. There's all these other things that exist in reality, but they're just sort of blind to us unless we have the tools to see them. So that was just sort of an interesting concept.
Okay, because you just used like the buzzword that unfortunately opens Pandora's box on every conversation like this, which is reality. So he means like the actual like disposition of what constitutes reality in terms of physical is the only word I can use in terms of that. Like he's not talking about what reality is, like experience versus subjective experience and objective experience. He means reality almost like an Einsteinian string theory kind of way, like the what things make up reality.
Right.
Okay.
And basically he's saying, right, like electromagnetism is a part of our reality.
Right.
It's just, we don't look and go, look at all that electromagnetism right there. But we know it's there.
I feel like a lot of those theories are so
vague.
Like, yeah, vague and new agey. Like they're like, oh, well, you know, energy exists and thoughts travel through your brain, you know, as electrical impulses and therefore, you know, like it's all one, it's all equal. So we should be able to do this. But I feel like there's no
science behind it.
I mean, there's like a very basic science behind it, but it's extremely reductionist.
Yeah. And he actually is from around that time of the New Age movement and things, which is probably why his theory was big then and has since sort of died down.
Right.
But yeah, something to consider and something that I had never really thought of before. But as we said, you know, we were talking about twintuition and somebody had pointed out that intuition was worth discussing. So we discussed it.
The brothers. Mysterious.